I know for us as Christians, this is a solemn night in many ways, but it's also a night for great rejoicing when we think about the finished work of our Savior on the cross. And as we look towards Sunday, we know that Friday was a bad day in some ways, but Sunday was a coming, and that our Lord would rise triumphant. I was thinking of the verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, where the Scripture says, "Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious." You know, the love that Peter had for our Lord is so evident in his writings. No man on earth had such a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, you had John, his mother Mary, his earthly father Joseph. Each had a very unique look at this amazing man. But Peter and Christ, when you read the Gospels, were almost inseparable. So much so that even in the upper room, Peter would blurt out, "I'll give my life for you." And Jesus would realistically reply, "No, I'll lay down my life for you. And in fact, you'll even deny me three times that you even know me." And then it was bitter tears of remorse when the cock did crow. And so Peter is the one who tells us, "To you who believe, He is precious." Think of some things that to you are precious. Maybe a family heirloom, maybe a picture, maybe a memory, but more than all of them, a person. No possession can equal someone. I was talking to Wilbert Ullman on the phone this morning. And he said to me, "Oh, how I loved that woman. You know, there is no love that equals the love that we can have for a person." So it is with Christ. To you who believe, He is precious. Paul said these words to 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, "Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." And then Paul adds, "Of whom I am the chief." I think it is true that every one of us that is redeemed looks at ourselves and we see the corruption of our heart, the depth of the depravity of us as we know ourselves. And we would cry out with Paul, "No, of whom I am chief. No, of whom I am chief." And so tonight, let's meet some people to whom He has been precious. You know, there are millions, aren't there? There are millions around the throne, the gathered, the glorified throng who sing His worthiness. Can you imagine a man like Barabbas if he came to faith? The cross was his to bear. It had his name on it. And Jesus took it. Or the man with the legion. The woman taken in adultery that He so tenderly forgave. The sinful woman of Luke's gospel that stole into the feast of the Pharisee's home and washed His feet with tears of gratitude. And there are so many more. So many more. The fruit of the travail of His death. He is precious. He is the pearl of great price. So tonight, let us worship Him who died on our behalf. Would you open with me in a word of prayer? Father, this is a special day to us, Your children. When we remember with the Apostle John, as You said in chapter 3 of 1 John, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." Lord Jesus, tonight we want to thank You. We want to worship You for what You did for us when You died and You bore our sin. We thank You that You were triumphant over the grave, but tonight we remember Your anguish. We praise You for it. In Your name, amen.
This is the story of long ago of a man that owned a little store. He said, "I was proud to have my name up over the door." It was some 2,000 years ago, as I recall, in a place called Jerusalem, across the street from Pilate's Hall. He said, "I had everything anyone would ever need, and folks would come from miles around, regardless of their creed. There was only one thing I had, I didn't think I would ever sell. It was in a corner on a shelf, three old rusty spark nails. Then one day, a big Roman soldier walked through the door. As he walked up to me, it seemed he shook the floor. I said, "Can I help you, sir?" With a voice I know seemed frail. He just looked at me and grinned and said, "I want to buy some big, big nails." I said, "Three old rusty spikes is all I have." He said to me, "That'll do for the job I have. Three's enough. Now, how much do you?" He put the money in my hand, and I was glad to make the sale. Then I wondered, and I asked him, I said, "Sir, what can you do with just three old rusty spiked nails?" He said, "Have you heard of the man called Jesus of Nazareth? You mean the one that goes about doing good?" He said, "Yes, that's the one. Well, today I intend to show the world that I'm the boss. For with these three old rusty spikes, I'm going to nail Jesus to the cross." Oh, I felt almost numb. You'll never know how I felt. I walked up to him and I said, "Please, sir, don't do that." I was on my knees, I knelt. He just turned and walked away. I got up and followed him. I said, "Please, sir, I'll buy them back." He just looked at me and grinned. In the distance, I could see the howling mob through the tears that filled my eyes. "Away with him! Crucify him!" I heard their angry cries. And over the top of all the noise and the groans of agony, I could hear that hammer as he nailed Jesus to a tree. With three rusty nails, they nailed Jesus to a tree. The sun turned to darkness on that day. 'Twas the day that Jesus died, and the blood flowed from his side. The blood that washed my sins away. Jesus cried, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. For they have strayed so far, far away." With three old rusty spikes, they took Jesus' precious blood, the blood that washed my sins away. They laughed as he cried, soldiers pierced his naked side, and his father turned his face away. With three old rusty nails, they took Jesus' precious blood, the blood that washed my sins away. The blood that washed my sins away.
A passage of Scripture which is incredibly profound. Maybe it's profound because it was written hundreds of years before Jesus went to Calvary himself. Isaiah, I wonder what he thought when he transcribed Isaiah chapter 53. Let me read it for you tonight. "Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. And he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom the man hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see the offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of the soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. Amazing thought of what our Christ did for us. Would you stand as we continue to worship him in song by singing a very famous old hymn, Amazing Grace.
December 1772, a middle-aged man, a little portly in the middle and slightly stooping at the shoulders, sat at his desk in Olney, and he penned the words that we have just sung. Probably no song in the English-speaking world has brought more comfort to the hearts of men than that song. His text that Sunday was from 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16. And David came and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" As was his practice in those years, to accompany his sermon, he wrote a hymn. In all, John Newton wrote 350 hymns. and published them with his friend William Cowper under the title Only Hymns. His name was John Newton. Saved from a life of profligacy and sin. He was a ship captain and a blasphemer. He went on to enter the Christian ministry at the age of 39. He preached the gospel of grace until the age of 80. Blind and unable to read his text, he would still take his Bible to the pulpit and open it. And by memory, he would preach in St. Mary's of London. In his diary, shortly before he died, he wrote a simple prayer. More light, more love, more liberty. As his memory began to fade, he was asked by a young man to recount his life's adventures, to which he simply replied, "These two things I know, that though I am a great sinner, Christ is a great Savior." And so he wrote his own eulogy, and he simply said, "John Newton, clerk. Once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he long labored to destroy." To John Newton, Jesus was truly precious. Amazing grace.
If you would have been one of the disciples of Jesus when he was crucified, what would you think? Where would you be? Would you be standing next to him? Will the crowds mock him? Or would you be in hiding? Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 16. "And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with the reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloth and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled the passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross, and they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in three days? Save yourself and come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry, and he breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last. He said, "Truly, truly this man was the Son of God."
Many times life just doesn't turn out the way we would expect. Brittany Ruiz probably never thought as a child that she would grow up to be a porn star. One of the largest industries in America is online porn. Not only does it exploit young men and lay a trap that ensnares many of them for life, creating shame and guilt, but it also enslaves multitudes of women who for money market themselves. Known by her stage name, Jenna Presley, she starred in Adult Sleaze. Despite all the notoriety and all the money, she hated herself and sought to end her own life. And then she met Christ, who in her own words totally transformed her life. About a year ago, she gave her life, her all, to the Savior. And He has become precious to her. Now she said she knows her sins have been forgiven her. Although all her sins are still paraded in graphic detail for all the world to see, she knows they have no power over her. Instead, she now says, I want to do everything that God says I should do. I want to be obedient to His Word. To know people can still look up my past online is a bit discouraging. Nevertheless, I know I'm completely healed by Jesus. Moreover, in the last year, she has had her brother, her mother, her sister, her father, as well as cousins join her in following Christ. She adds, it's really cool. They just started falling like flies. God's goodness and love is leading my family to repentance. The words of another lesser known hymn by John Newton. He said, I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood, who fixed his loving eyes on me as near his cross I stood. And never till my dying breath will I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins, his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. But with a second look, he said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid. I died that you might live. Thus, while his death my sins display for all the world to view, such is the mystery of grace. It seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled. That I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I killed.
To
John Bunyan was a tinker by trade. It's one of those professions that has kind of died out in the centuries. A tinker was somebody who fixed with tin the little pots and pans of women, and he would travel the streets with his little cart. He fought for the Roundheads in the English Civil War. He was born again after living in a life of sin. Became a nonconformist preacher, which in that day meant he was not part of the established church in England. For that, he was imprisoned. And he was imprisoned for well nigh to 2 decades. And during that time of affliction, he wrote one of the most well-known books in the English language. It's called A Pilgrim's Progress. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts. It begins. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where there was a den. And I laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man that was clothed with rags, with his face from his own house. A book was in his hand, and a great burden was on his back. I looked in, and I saw him open the book, and he read therein. And as he read, he wept and he trembled. And not being able to linger any longer, he broke out with a lamentable cry, "What shall I do?" In this plight he went. He would also walk solitary in the fields, sometimes reading, sometimes praying. And thus for many days he spent his time. I looked then, and I saw a man named Evangelist coming to him. And he asked, "Wherefore dost thou cry?" He said, "Sir, I perceive by the book in my hand that I am condemned to die, and after that, to come to judgment." I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second. I fear that this burden on my back will sink me deeper than the grave. I shall fall into hell itself. And thoughts of these things make me cry. Then flee. Flee, said he. Whither shall I flee? To the wicket gate. And so I fled. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which the pilgrim went was fenced on either side by a wall. And that wall is called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the burden that was on his back. He ran thus until he came into a place somewhat ascending. Upon that place stood a cross. And a little below it in the bottom, a tomb. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders. It fell from off his back and it began to tumble and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the tomb where it fell in. And he saw it no more. Then he stood a while to look and to wonder. For it was surprising to him that at the sight of the cross should so ease him from his burden. And then the springs that were in his head were loosed and sent waters down upon his cheeks. And singing, he went upon his way. Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in till I came hither. What a place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed tomb, blessed rather be the man that here was put to shame for me.
Throne, now and forever, He King of heaven. Sing to Jesus, we are His own, now and forever. Sing for the love our God has shown. Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts. He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name, sing of His faithfulness, pouring His life out unto His is the throne, now and forever. He is the King of heaven. Sing to Jesus, we are His own, now and forever. Sing for the love our God has shown. Sing to Jesus, Lord of our shame, Lord of our sinful hearts. He is our great Redeemer. Sing to Jesus, honor His name, sing of His faithfulness, pouring His light out unto this mystery, the God of the universe, nailed to a tree.
You know, there are so many yet who need to hear that message. It seems like for the last couple of years I've had the opportunity to be involved in statewide battle for standing up for marriage against a radical agenda that is sweeping our country. And it's been interesting. What was interesting was to have the opportunity this week at a funeral to preach to two men, Brad and Luis. Been together for well over a decade. Came up and talked to us afterwards, and Amy and I had the opportunity to sit with Brad and Luis by a swimming pool for well over an hour to talk with them and to share Christ. I'm praying for Brad. I'm praying for Luis. When we to the end of a conversation, Luis, who had done a lot of talking and shared his story, looked at us and said, you know, I don't get to talk to many people about these things. It feels so good to have just told my story. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like us. I thought of that as Matt was reading the words of Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. There's no form, no comeliness, no beauty that when we see him we should desire him. It's a man who was despised. We did not esteem his value. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that we deserve for our sin was upon him. And with those stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Aren't you thankful for that? Christ would go to that cross and bear your sin. And that he would look upon you and offer you pardon. As we come to the table tonight, we come remembering, as Jesus said we should do. And so we said at that last dinner, he said, take this bread and break it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread, remember that my body was torn, it was battered, it was broken for you. And drink the cup, vivid symbol of his blood that was spilt. And as we eat and as we drink, we remember that in order to live, we must eat and drink of Christ by faith, that he was wounded on our behalf. You know, there's not a one of us that thinks ourselves worthy. It's not our worthiness. It's Christ's. If you've received Christ as your Savior, if you're not a part of Emmanuel Bible Church, you're a part of Christ Church. If you know Christ, we invite you to partake with us in remembrance of what Christ has done. And so the men are going to come, we're going to pray, and we will pass out the bread, and then together we will partake, and then the cup. And then Matt will come back and will close us with a song, and we'll be dismissed. And then we'll come back on Sunday and we will celebrate again because of the resurrection.